dinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Okay. Kenneth Allen.
How are you, brother?
Good, thank God.
Yeah.
And hello to all of our listeners out there in Radio Land. Hey, that was a great intro by Dennis. You know, usually I don't get the intro because I come right on after the intro.
Okay.
But he did a good job there.
Yeah. He's only been doing it for 6 years.
Yeah, I know, but I don't hear it.
Yeah. Now, if we could just get...
I heard it. Yeah.
I have to get him to update the intro for the 5 o'clock show 6 years later, and it's still
it's still
Kathleen.
Yeah, yeah.
That's okay. That's all right.
I'll keep you humble.
Yeah, amen. We want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you so much for being with us today. And for all that you do for us, both your prayerful and financial contributions that have kept us on the air for over 40 years now. And I just ask you to keep doing what you can so that we can continue to bring you great programs like this one. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or give Maureen a call here at In His Sign and she can put you in touch with Father or I. We're making some changes to that Our House Ministries website. We've got some stuff that goes on during the week, and we're going to plan on updating that weekly now. So if you check it out, you'll know what's going on. You can also subscribe to our newsletter. We're going to try to put something out weekly going forward and keep people abreast as to what's going on, especially around our Matt Talbot Shrine that's open in St. Gabriel's Church on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 to 5. At least 5, sometimes a little bit later, and as well as what's going on with the Calyx groups around the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and nearby Wilmington, Delaware. So go out to ourhouseministries.org and hit the subscribe button, plug in your information, and we'll keep you updated, and look forward to having you on there.
Boy, Ken, do you have your work cut out for you.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to do it, I guess. No, and you know what it is, Father, is you know, we want to keep people abreast of what's going on. And I don't know if you had heard, but Chuck stopped in around 1:05, and a couple of people were outside the chapel waiting for Mass at 1:15.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we just want to get people signed up so that they know, what's going on, and don't go out of their way for something that may not happen. So,
yeah.
All good. All right. Let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Mark G. and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Anthony of Egypt.
Pray for us.
St. Francis and St. Clair.
Pray for us.
St. Agnes.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael.
Pray for us.
And all the angels and saints.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The number's 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. 527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, perhaps through our website at inhissign.com, you can reach us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls as we go to the bottom of the hour for when we come back. We'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, if God's touched you in a particular way recently and you care to share it with our listeners, we'd love to have you call. We'll give out those numbers again before we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. We are currently in the second week of Ordinary Time, and just a couple of saints on the calendar this week. On Tuesday the 17th, yesterday, was St. Anthony of Egypt. On Friday the 20th, St. Sebastian, and on Saturday the 21st, St. Agnes. So we thought we would start today and talk a little bit about St. Anthony of Egypt. Anthony was born, we think, in the year 251 and died in the year 356. That's right. He lived to be 105 years old. Remind people a lot of St. Francis of Assisi when he was a young man. He had heard the gospel say, go sell what you have and give to the poor. And he actually did it. He had a large inheritance that he gave up. He's a little bit different than Francis because Anthony went out and lived in the desert. Lived in solitude. It didn't mean he didn't interact with people. He became well known, and people would come to him all the time for help and guidance, for prayers, for healing. But he was a little bit different than Francis of Assisi in that regard. At 54, he had responded to many requests, and he founded a kind of like a monastery, though, with scattered cells, again, all spread out, but not a monastery that would come to be known later. He also had a fear of stately buildings and well-laden tables, which is what Francis feared. At the age of 60, he wanted to be a martyr. The persecution broke out in the year 311. And he just put himself out there. He would visit the folks that were in prison, giving them moral and material support. Later, at the age of 88, he was fighting the Arian heresy, and that heresy that would deny the divinity of Christ. And eventually, again, he would die in solitude at the age of 105. When you see pictures of him, I thought it was interesting. You usually see him with a T-shaped cross, a pig, and a book. The pig and the cross depict his warfare with the devil. Now, the cross is constant means of power, and the pig is symbol of the devil himself. And the book recalls his preference for the book of nature over the printed word. And when I was reading about that, Father, you know, I like to spend my time outside with the birds and what have you, and I often get frustrated because I'd be trying to read, you know, good spiritual works, and finally having, you know, I'm always going back and having to read and reread because my comprehension stinks. I blamed it on all those years of drinking, but maybe it's God's actually pushing me to prefer the book of nature over the printed word. But St. Anthony of Egypt lived to be 105 years old, and whose feast day we celebrated in our church yesterday on the 17th of January.
Yeah, what you said, Ken, about reading the creation book. That was St. Bernard. He said that I found God more in the brooks than in the books. Mm-hmm. How true.
Yeah.
But we need both. The Word of God, you know, leads us to creation. But St. Anthony of the desert, like you say, I mean, really, 105 years old. This man, he did little sleep. His diet was bread, little salt. He drank only water. And when in his old age, he took a little oil. 105, that he had every tooth in his head, and none of them was really well-worn that much. I mean, he was healthy all those years, his diet, the way he lived, and just being close to God. He really lived in the kingdom of God. But it was an honor of God how it all started for him, Ken. He's walking the church, and he's thinking about, you know, the rich young man. And he gets to church, and that's the reading. And he hears, if you seek perfection, go sell your possessions and give to the poor. You will then have treasure in heaven. And he did exactly that. After providing for his sister, he went and lived on the edge of town. But very wealthy. had a lot of land, fertile land, a lot of possessions, money. And he just he gave it all away. And he lived on the edge of town. And then people would bring his food and just ask for his prayers. And because he was so distracted with so many people coming, he would go higher up into the mountain to really live a life of solitude. But he believed, you know, that the fervent petition of a holy man is powerful indeed. And he was really a holy man close to God. The people called him the friend of God. And in fact, you mentioned about the Arianism where he was helping out St. Athanasius. St. Athanasius actually wrote a book about Anthony of Desert, and Augustine read that book and led to St. Augustine's conversion. So, you know, he teaches us so much about the spiritual life. He's the father of monks. He seems to be the originator of the monastic way of life. Always in solitude, and disciples were always coming to him, and people were attracted to him. You know, as he started to really get well-known, people were, you know, like he had 100 people around him. People were putting little huts around him, and they knew about him, and they wanted to come and speak to him, get a word or see him. But they could pick him out, Ken, just by his radiance, just by his facade, just by the way he looked. You know, holiness was just exuding from him. But it doesn't mean he got that overnight. You know, I mean, just like us all the saints, you know, there's that martyrdom of the heart, that red, not only the red martyrdom, but it's the white martyrdom, where we deny ourselves. He was doing that. He was denying himself, picking up his cross, following Jesus. He was detaching from the world. That's a white martyrdom. And after that, you know, the kingdom of God was just infused in him and flooded him. But even in the beginning, I think he had thoughts about going back to the flesh pots, back to the world. But even the devil tried to pull him back. And the devil would appear to him as a beautiful woman to try to tempt him. And he would, this was his weapon. He would make the sign of the cross and then call on the name Jesus. There it is. And we talked about that not too long ago on the Holy Name of Jesus in January. Powerful name. You know, when we pray that from our heart, because Jesus is already there within us, if we pray that, there's a communion with him. And then, you know, I'm letting him take over and fighting the devil. But the sign of the cross, you know, Satan can't, you know, that's the mousetrap that caught him. You know, and he sees that sign of the cross, and I think of the movies, all the vampires as a kid, somebody came in, always held up a crucifix in front of the vampire, and the vampire would flee. But the power of the cross and the power of the holy name. But, you know, he really struggled there in the beginning. And the devil was after him. And, you know, it was a point where he was crying out, "Where are you? Where are you?" Talking to Jesus. The temptations were so fierce. "Where are you?" And then he would hear Jesus say, "Beside you. I'm beside you." And he's always beside us. With the Lord at my side, I shall not be disturbed. That reminds me of that story of St. Catherine of Siena. And this really helped me, even as a seminarian, not only in sexuality or sensual living, but in everything of gospel living. But St. Catherine tells the story that she was very tempted. And in her mind was coming through all kinds of graphic, impure images. She called it a storm, and she fought it. And then the Lord appeared to Catherine, and she looked at Jesus and said, "Well, where were you when I needed you?" And Jesus said, "I was right there in your heart." And she said to Jesus, "Lord, well, you know, those thoughts, they were so impure. How could you have been in my heart?" And Jesus said, "Well, what did you experience when you were going through that storm?" And Jesus said, "Did you experience pleasure or pain, joy or sorrow?" And she said, "Oh, pain and sorrow." And Jesus said, "See, if you had joy and pleasure, I wouldn't have been in your heart." So there's no sin without consent. And these saints show us this. You know, there is a spiritual battle, especially in the beginning of our journey when we're still weak. Satan's going to hit us. He knows our buttons. He knows where to push. But as we advance more and more up that mountain with Jesus, you know, we get stronger and stronger. You know, it's like, here's one thing. perfection is in the love of God. You say you want to be perfect. That's in the love of God. It's not in our self-denials. It's not in our detachment. It's not in our mortifications. The perfection is in the love of God. And the way that we deepen our love for God is in mortification, putting to death all those things that are not of God, denying ourselves. It will strengthen our will. And that's where we really love God the most. So mortification, self-denial, prayer, fasting, it's great. But we got to stick to the battle. We got to keep doing it. But as soon as things don't go our way, I want to go and gorge with food, put on the television, you know, pop open the bottle of champagne, beer and pretzels, ice cream and pretzels, you know. It's like continue the battle, fight the battle. Something's coming. You know, that we go up and we hit a wall and then we fall right back down again. If we only realize that in this mortification, I'm going to climb higher and higher. And then sin's going to be really, even the little sin, you know, I'm going to be sensitive to. And I want to turn away from all sin, just like these great saints, you know, beautiful saints. And then the Lord would shine through them. I, like St. Paul, I no longer live I, but Christ lives in me. There was also one point, Ken, where he's fighting with the world, and he wants the kingdom, and he sees, you know, the kingdom on the other side of this thorny bush, this big bush, and he can't seem to get over it, to the kingdom and out of the worldliness. And he says, how, Lord, how am I going to get over there? How? And Jesus said, humility, Anthony, humility. And the definition of humility that I heard Mother Teresa of Calcutta gave a great definition of humility. Give him, Jesus, permission to fight our battles, to conquer our demons. Call on his holy name, because we can't do it. We are too weak. But in him we live and move and have our being. And when I'm strong, I'm powerful, because his graces, his power rest upon me. And I can conquer all things in him, even the graves. But he was a man of prayer, you know, night vigils. Gosh, in the beginning, I found this interesting. In the beginning, he was pure contemplative. And he was getting tired of this contemplation. And he was figuring, you know, something's wrong with this contemplation. It's not seeming to be working. He was getting really dry. So he's seeking to spend all his time in contemplation. But then he discovers it was too exhausting for him. And then an angel appears to him, showing him that he should pray and work. Pray and work. Ora et labora. We pray first, and then we work our prayer, and then we pray again. Pray and work. Hence, he began to till a small garden, as well as weave mats during breaks from his hours of prayers. And he found this very helpful and encouraging. And that's beautiful. You know, sometimes we go to prayer, and it's like there's no activity. You know, I become like, I don't know, like a zombie. You know, St. Teresa would call it a ninny. You're a ninny, you know. But, you know, we pray to receive the graces and the wisdom and the energy to go out and to be a servant of the Lord and to serve the Lord. It's just, you know, the saints, they have the wisdom. And he said this, too, about wisdom. He said that, you know, there's a prayer, you know, that he said. I'll say that at the end when we end it. But he said that, you know, knowledge is not the same as wisdom. Knowledge comes from books. Wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit and from the heart. And when we start doing the will of God and we start keeping his commandments and all of them, and I'm talking about the Sermon on the Mount, you know, the fulfillment of the law, when we start doing that, wisdom's going to be infused in us, and we're going to know God. We're going to know that. It's going to be an experience. It's not just going to be like a belief, but a knowing, a real experience, like those odd or God experiences that we talk about where we know it's really God. But he was talking, he had like visions of later on with the monks and how it would be later on. He said something that I think, not for all the monks or all the religious, but certainly for some. He told this vision. He said, all the monks that are monks growing in virtue and number will go back to affluences in the cities and they will only be distinguished by their dress, you know, that they would be living, you know, sumptuous banquets, you know, and making trips all over the world and kind of losing that sense of poverty. There's only one place we really need to be in, and that's in the presence of God. And I'm not downing trips because I've been on, you know, I've been to Medjugorje and with Matt Talbot, with you, Ken, and in Ireland. And they did wonders. They did wonders for me. But I realized coming back from Medjugorje that the Blessed Mother is as present here, and Jesus is as present here where I'm at than he is anywhere else in the world, in all the tabernacles of the world. So it came time for his death, and 105, and he got all of his disciples around him, and he just said, "Farewell, my children." Then they embraced him, and then all he did was stretched out his feet and calmly ceased to breathe. You know, at death, it's just like it's so, what a transition. You know? It's just like you're going to sleep and waking up in the kingdom. This was Anthony, you know. And here's the prayer I like to say at the end here about Anthony of Egypt. Dear Saint Anthony, help us to see that knowledge is not the same as wisdom. May we seek to divest ourselves of the things of this world, riches, recognition, and comfort. Help us to know that the more we clutter our minds with created things, the less room we have for Christ. Amen. All right, Ken.
Amen. And you know, a whole lot there, Father. And you know, as you're talking, about the love of God, and Father Shea touched on that a little bit last night, especially through prayer. And it's one thing to, you know, read Scripture and know who God is and what He did, and you know, believe that He loves us. But are we truly in love with God? You know, that relationship, like any human relationship, can vary depending on what's going on in our life at any given time. And but it's something that needs to be worked at. It's not just going to come and stay. It may come at times with little effort, but at other times may require a whole lot of effort. And it's part of that that spiritual battle that you mentioned that's going on. And it's right now it's in it's full bore. I mean, it's all out. The armies of the evil one are not trying to hide it anymore. It's just an all-out assault on the Catholic faith, the Christian faith, Western culture, and you know, we need to be prayed up and find that love of God for us, and find a way to return that love and to be in a situation in my life where I am now to be able to do that. It is such a blessing. There's so many people that are confused and lost, and even more are going to be in the not too distant future, I think, with the way things are headed. And you know, for those of us that have that relationship with God and know Him, a lot's going to be expected in the coming years, maybe even in the coming months. So keep prayed up. We got a caller on the line. We're going to go to Bob. We were going to go to Bob. I think Bob hung up. He's on the other line. Hold on.
Okay. I'm back.
Hello, Bob.
Hello.
Hey, you got tired of waiting, huh?
Well, I wasn't sure if I cut myself off or something.
No.
So, but yeah, and Father was talking about prayer, you know, in how it sometimes, you know, it seems like, I don't know, like nothing's happening. And I was taught as a child this prayer that I pray all the time. Oh, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I implore that I may love you more and more. And I'm trying all the time to love God more and more, but it seems like the same. And then finally, I started this year saying the rosary every day, and I can feel myself inching closer and closer. And that was what was driving me crazy, the inching. You know, I'm a hyperactive person. I want to do it all at once, you know?
No, not you, Bob.
It's kind of like if you were on a diet and you're only losing a pound a week, that would seem like frustrating. But then I realized, what's 52 pounds a year? You know, so I really feel it. I'm inching closer and closer, you know, and I think it's the rosary, you know. So,
yep, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
And you guys inspire me to do that kind of stuff, so I appreciate that.
Very good.
In the public, I want to say, if you spend your time with the birds, who are you to criticize me for being with the fruits and the nuts? You know? Making fun of my hometown, Fruitland Park.
Fruitland Park. And we did mark you absent last night. I don't know where you were, but you.
I'm down the shore.
Okay.
You know, it was my last shore stay.
Gotcha.
So I'm actually leaving. I'm in North Wildwood right now. I pulled over so I could call.
Okay.
I'm in Anglesey, actually, and I'm getting ready to go over the bridge and come home.
And when do you leave for Florida? Do you know yet?
Yeah. February the 8th. What I did was I made a reservation on the auto train.
Right.
And that would force me to stop procrastinating. I have to leave on February the 8th because I already made the reservation, you know?
There you go.
So,
all right.
Hey, Bob. What?
All right.
I have a feeling you pulled over at Wawa to get your coffee.
Yes, you're right. He's a mystic.
You can't mention that on the air. They don't pay for advertising. So.
All right. Yeah, Bob. Thanks for mentioning the rosary and the inching. You know, I was thinking as you were sharing that you know the rosary. I think, like John Paul II said, and was quoting other popes, that the rosary without contemplation is like a body without a soul. So that inching, I was like seeing Mary behind you, pushing you up, you know, Mount Zion there, and Jesus taking your hand and inching you up. But it's like we pray the Hail Marys and meditate for a while, and sometimes we're just pulled into that place in our heart where, you know, even though we're still reciting the Hail Marys in the backgrounds of our minds like a symphony, that there's a peace that we're being filled with. And sometimes we think we're not praying the rosary right because the next thing we know, it's over. And say, hey, I forgot to mention the presentation or Jesus, or forgot to mention the finding in the temple. No, you did it right. I'm not talking about a distracting rosary where what am I going to eat? Where am I going tonight?
That's the inching.
It's like God is inching us closer and closer, and it doesn't happen overnight. I saw that movie Scrooge when I was away for a few days. That was the 1971. Albert Finney, and it was a musical. And I remember him waking up and say to the little boy, what day is it? It's Christmas Day. And he said, oh, they did it all in one night. And I said, Lord, I wish you can do it all in one night. But he doesn't do it all in one night. You know, I said, get it over with. Get this junk out of me. So that it can be all yours, you know. But
well,
the rosary, certainly, Mary,
the
Immaculata, will help us on to that.
Yeah. But, Father, you taught me how to pray the rosary properly. You taught me about the meditation that when I'm saying the Hail Mary, I'm not concentrating on all the words of the Hail Mary. I'm concentrating on the mystery. And the Hail Mary is like a meditative, you know, kind of like a, what do they call that in Buddhism, that when they chant, you know, but
yeah, I know
that, and it's like I, you know, and when I started the rosary this year, it was an effort. Now I look forward to it, you know, but you taught me how to do it properly, how to meditate properly, you know. So
yeah, but remember the meditation,
Bob,
the meditation is not the end. Still got to get out of the mind into the heart. If you're meditating and thinking, you're still in the mind. But then you're pulled into the heart, and then next thing I know, the rosary's over because I'm in that peace now. I'm in that realm with God, in that hug of God. And he's touching me where I hurt, and I don't even know what's happening. It's the I don't know what, as John of the Cross talks about. But when I emerge from that, I'm in a peaceful state. And I have my reservoir of grace is filled up. I'm ready to go into the world because the world's going to bang me here and there. But I'm going to have the graces. And be fortified against the worldliness. But then I'm going to go back to the well again because I will be depleted. But the rosary, verbal prayer, the Hail Mary, meditation, the mind, but then the resting it, you know, and letting God infuse and just receive.
And, you know, it's also funny, Father, you wouldn't think that the physical beads, the rosary themselves would matter, but that man in our group made that super rosary for me. I think it's paracord. I think it's parachute cord. The red rosary, the man who makes them himself.
Yeah,
you know?
Harry.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
But it's like I said, it went through the wash once and it came out like super strong, you know. I love it. It's my permanent rosary now, you know.
All right. Well, Bob, I appreciate the call. We got to the bottom of the hour, so we got to take a break here.
Very good. Enjoy the call. I'm going in and try to get the Father Doug discount at Wawa here.
There you go. there you go. You got it. All right, pal. Thanks for the call.
Get a discount down here.
All right. We'll see you next week.
All right. Take care.
All right. You too.
Yep.
All right, we've reached the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a short break. We want your phone calls for Is That Odd or Is That God, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call toll-free 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
My name is Mario DiAdamo, and I have been a faithful listener to InnerSign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at InHisSign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas McKay. And again, the phone numbers, we're going to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we can't have it without you. 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. While we're waiting, just give you a quick update on the Catholic Society, a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. We meet every Tuesday in Grace Ferry. That's where you'll find Father McKay and I in our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street. We start at 6 o'clock on Tuesdays with a short adoration period followed by Mass and then our Calyx meeting. We're there, like I say, every Tuesday. On the third Tuesday, which was last night, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church for a Matt Talbot Holy Hour followed by Mass. And we'll talk a little bit about the happenings last night. We'll get together again on the third Tuesday in February, which will be February the 21st. We have a Calyx unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown. Go up and see my good friend Tommy Gallagher. They meet on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be tomorrow night, January the 19th. We have a unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media that meets on the second Saturday of the month, 5 o'clock Vigil Mass, and then a Calyx meeting after. Father McKay offers that Vigil Mass and attends that Calyx meeting as well. Their next meeting will be on Saturday, February the 11th. They just met this past Saturday. My home unit, the Glenside unit at St. Luke's, meets on the third Saturday of the month. We go to the 8:30 a.m. Parish Mass and then have a Calyx meeting afterwards. Father John Wackerman has been a great help there. And we will be meeting this coming Saturday, January 21st. We have a unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield that meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. They will meet next Saturday, January the 28th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, we have a Calyx unit that meets at St. Matthew's every Wednesday for 6:15 p.m. Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. So go down and visit Sheila and Joe O'Connor and the crew at St. Matthew's on Wednesday evenings. And last but not least, in the 5 o'clock hour today, I'm going to be joined by Chris McGregor, the founder of Discerning Hearts podcast and blog, and she'll be on to discuss Women Mystics, a book written by a priest, Father Louis Baer, a number of years ago. So you want to stick around for that as well. And we do have a caller on the line. We're going to go to Barbara. Hello, Barbara.
Hello, Father. How are you?
Hi, Barbara.
I don't know who the Ken is because I'm listening on the station that you listen to when nothing else works.
A number of years ago.
Yeah.
I'm not... all I see is...
Can you turn on? Can you turn down your radio in the background, please, Barb?
Hello, Father. Oh. Hi.
Hey, so what's on your mind?
What's on my mind is I'm listening for the very first time, Father. So what happened is I heard you mention somebody named Ken, and I didn't know who he was.
So that would be the co-host, Ken Johnston.
Oh, okay. It doesn't, when you do the radio station, just so you know, it doesn't say anything about who you're listening to or the name of the program or anything. It's just a blank screen.
Gotcha.
But anyway, I enjoyed listening about the St. Francis, and I had one question. What is your spin on the mustard seed parable?
Well, the mustard seed parable is the smallest seed. And it's like when our spiritual life begins, it's the smallest seed. You know, when we're baptized, the seed is planted, but it needs to be watered to grow. And that watering is doing, you know, our gospel living. It's keeping the commandments. It's doing what the Lord tells us. And we begin to grow and grow and grow. And when you see the mustard seed, when it gets bigger and bigger, the birds come and they make their home in that bush. And so when we get closer and closer to God, we make our home not on earth, but in heaven, Barbara.
That's where I got lost.
I'm sorry, Barbara.
You have anything, Ken?
Well, Barbara was trying to talk as you were wrapping up there, so I didn't quite hear what she said.
What I'm saying is that the birds of the seed grows and the birds of the air come and make nests in the branches. I'm trying to figure out how that relates to the seed that was planted in me at my baptism that I need to grow with faith and works and such, and who will be making nest in my branches? I kind of got lost in that part.
Well, it's what I was just saying, Barb, but you were talking over me, Ken said, that it starts out as a small seed, and we're baptized, and that seed is going to be watered. And how it is watered? Sacrament after sacrament after sacrament, confession after confession, good deed after good deed after good deed. And we begin to grow more and more. And so we, like the birds who fly into the bush and make it their home, our home becomes more in heaven now. That's our home, and that's where our heart is now. Not so much on earth, but with God in heaven. But that's a spiritual journey and a growing, and we need to obey the Lord and do what he tells us, and we grow and grow. We mature more and more into the kingdom of God. Does that help, Barbara?
That is absolutely perfect, and I'm not going to take up all of your time because I'm sure there's a lot of other people who would like to speak with you. But that clarified it for me, and I thank you, and God bless.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thanks
Do
for
I
the call,
know you, Barbara.
Now it's the first time listener.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, good, Barb. Keep calling back.
Thank you.
All right, dear. Be good. God bless you.
Thanks.
That's a good question.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I was thinking, you know, the birds that it's a metaphor or figuratively that, you know, when we take that mustard seed and nurture it and we grow into that bush, it makes us appealing, you know, not so much for birds, but, you know, we think about the people that keep coming back to our Calyx meetings or come to the ministry for Mass and other activities that we have. And it's because there's something there that they want. We say it all the times in 12-step rooms, if you want what we have. And, you know, we see it with the ministry. And, you know, people seem to want what we have. And which is, you know, pretty interesting considering the motley crew that we are. And yet God has somehow or other put us in a position where we've been able to learn a little bit about the faith, to grow in that faith and to love him. And because of that, people actually want to hang around with us, and which is pretty cool when you really think about it. Because it was a time when there weren't too many people that were, you know, looking to hang around with me, and you know, which kind of leads into the night that we had last night. We had our third Tuesday over at St. Gabriel's. We had the biggest crowd that we've had. I think I was talking to Chuck today. He said at one point, and I think it was early on, he counted about 52 people. But Father Shea mentioned after communion that he thought there were 70 there. I don't know if he was counting them as they were came up for communion.
Yeah,
but more
than 50.
Yeah, but no, we had a nice crowd last night, and, you know,
I was thinking 72 disciples.
There you go. And we sent them out and told them to bring somebody next month, and I think that we're on the verge of exploding there. And it's because people are longing for that message. They want to know how to love God. They, you know, Father Shea gave a great homily last night on the three things, and prayer and good deeds and the sacraments, and that's how we grow closer to God. You mentioned that. I heard you say good deeds a couple times there with Barbara.
Uh-huh.
And it's and even before we went to the break, so
about that. I mentioned those three things. Yeah. Realize that. Yep.
Yeah. And you know, so when people hear that, that's what they're looking for. You know, I said it before we went to the break. With all the confusion that's in this world, and you know, being able to get together with like-minded people and talk about God and how to grow closer to Him and to experience the sacraments on these third Tuesdays, where you can go to confession and Mass, you get two out of the seven, and you know, grow in that grace. And you can't help but grow deeper in faith when you do these things. You know, bring around the body, the mind will follow. Sooner or later, it does. It starts to rub off, and you start to pick up on things, and it gets inside you, and you start to change. And part of that change is that you want more. And so I just thought last night was fabulous. We were blessed to have both Father Michael Shea there from the Miraculous Metal Shrine in Germantown, and our good friend Brian Gale, who was on with me last Wednesday in the 5 o'clock hour talking about Maximilian Kolbe and the Blessed Mother and the Knights of Immaculata. And for the times that are coming, these are the things that we need to know about and hear about, so that you know, we can join forces and pray for one another and bolster each other if things do get difficult.
Yeah, you know, I really got a lot out of Brian Gale's talk. You know, he should have been a professor in a university, because he's such a great teacher, you know, teaching us about Maximilian Kolbe, Ken. And just what he said, that he thinks so much of us down here in Grace Ferry. He mentioned about, you know, his son being with us and living with Mary Waller, and how he prays for us every day. He's a daily communicant, and he lights a candle. He's praying for us all the time, a real true prayer warrior. And we have so many prayer warriors, but Brian Gale is not only a teacher for us who teaches us, but that prayer warrior. And boy, what a retreat we had, you know, with him in Malvern with the Knights of the Immaculata that he spoke about last night. But really burned my heart, Ken.
Amen. Amen. I had him for the whole hour last week, and it's the amount of knowledge he's been carrying with about Maximilian Kolbe and the Knights of Immaculata. He's just one of that. He's like a magnet. You just want to, you hear more, you can listen to him forever, and you know, just good stuff. I'm going to go to the phones again. We got Michael online too. Hello, Michael. Michael, are you there? Hello, Michael.
Hello?
Yeah, you're. Sounds like you're away from the phone. Hey, Michael?
Yes.
You're on the air with Father Doug and Ken.
Yeah, how you doing, Father Doug?
Wonderful,
doing,
Michael.
Ken?
All right.
It's nice to talk to you guys. So I just came in from work, and you know, I got your I got a message today about your you know, your radio show, and it's pretty odd that it happened today, and my wife just told me that you were talking about the Out of God moment. Because the you know, like the last 2 weeks of work has been, you know, I've been working with a guy who's not doing the right thing, and you know, the temptations were there, and I was getting aggravated, and so I went to the boss and I explained my situation to him, and he said, you know, fine, I understand. So before you know it, all this work starts piling up. Now we need somebody. So here he reaches out to a guy who used to work with us, who's a good Christian guy, and I loved working with him. And here he just happened to get laid off as all our work picked up. So I didn't have to work with this other guy who was bringing me down, and I was coming home aggravated. And I was like, boy, you know, all I do is hit my knees every morning, say my prayers, and be the best person that I can every day. And you know, if I don't try to control things, things will work themselves out. God will make a way for it. And, like, I don't see that as it's happening, but in hindsight, I see it. I'm like, there's no other way that this could have happened, but God, like, just makes it happen that way, you know? And it's, I was just amazed. I was never so happy to see another guy, you know? Maybe a girl, but not a guy.
Yeah, Michael.
So now I get up and I'm happy to go to work. I'm not aggravated. Like, man, I got to put up with this guy. He's running around like a nut, and here I am. I know what he's doing, and I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to be around it. And so, how do I get out of this? It's not up to me. It's up to God.
Amen.
And that was pretty odd how everything just worked out, you know? So,
pretty good.
The days of work been great, and looking forward, everything's looking good. My mood's much happier. My wife's happier. And you know the saying, happy wifey, happy lifey. So I just wanted to let everybody know out there that, you know, we're not in control. And
Amen.
If, you know, you have the faith, things will work out. And then I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm happy that you're there and doing everything that you do. And my wife said hi, Father and Ken. And nice talking to you guys.
You too, Michael. Appreciate the call. It's always interesting to me how God seems to work things out. Once we let go and let Him take care of things, He just seems to do it for us. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just you know, my stubbornness doesn't, you know, sometimes allow me to give Him a chance. I got to take control all the time, you know. And my wife tells me all the time, it's not up to you. It's up to God. Just leave it go and things will work out. And it does. It's a great feeling when you see that.
Amen. Well, I appreciate the call, Michael. Thanks very much.
All right, guys. You have a good night. I want to listen to the rest of the show.
All right. Appreciate
Thanks,
it,
Michael. Bill. God bless you. We forgot the otter god. There it is.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have an otter god, Father?
I did have one, Ken. I went to the hospital to see my sister Peggy on Sunday at the Methodist. And I'm walking down the hall, and I'm passing by a room. And I see this guy. He seems stressed, like he's ready to leave, but very depressed. His face is in his hand. He's kind of leaning over the bed. And I said, boy, you know, Lord, I need to come back and visit this guy, you know, just to say hi to him. So I go visit my sister and coming back, and the guy is standing at the door. And who it is? One of the guys from Grace Ferry that I know so well. young Mitchell. He was always a little kid here and grew up here, and he did a lot of work for us, Ken, and was always helping us clean, and we gave him a rosary one time. But here, you know, I go into the room. We sit, you know, I give him a nice blessing. We talk for a little bit. I give him a hug. But he's just sickly. You know, he suffered all of his life with diabetes, and he really, you know, just carries a cross. But it was just that otter god that the Lord made sure I would see Mitchell and give his blessing through me to him. And I told him, I said, stop around when you get home, you know. But that was otter god, you know. Here I'm passing by somebody, like my mind, he looks like somebody from Grace Ferry, I'm thinking, and he was. So that was my otter god.
Yeah, very good. Very good. To give out the phone numbers one last time, we only got about 7 minutes left here. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. We're toll free, 888-343-2484.
You know, Ken, the other thing, the otter god, this is just an otter god, as we were talking and Barbara had called in about the mustard seed. And then we think about it, and then a thought comes in our mind or a light or a clarification or an understanding. I mean, is that odd or is that God? It's not us. You know, just like Michael said, we're not in control. God's always taking care of things. But when we were talking about the mustard seed and you were talking, you know, what came to mind all of a sudden was Elvis Presley, the song, In the Garden, and He Walks With Me, and speaks about, and the eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. And it's like that mustard seed again, as we get closer to Him, even though His eye's on the sparrow. Here's the whole point. God is always watching me. He's always watching you, Ken. He's always watching Michael, Barbara, Patrick, Maureen, all of us. He can't take His eye off of us because of His love so much. And it's like, there's the growth, you know, that mustard seed, having that home in heaven and being closer to God and realizing that God is watching me and He's telling me to behold Him. Behold the Lamb of God and behold Mother Mary. Behold your mother. It's just not for at Mass when we say those words. It's all the time. Behold the Lord watching us and Mary, because they are. And as we get closer and closer to that, we're going to see that they were always there for us. As He promised, I'm always with you till the end of the world. So, yeah, that's an otter god. It's just like somebody calls in, they say something, all of a sudden you're flooded with this thought, that thought, and that light. And especially, you know, the Word of God, Ken, when you read the Word of God. As we've been doing on Mondays, and we read it, you know, Lectio Divina, we read it like four times. And it's like every time you read it, something new, it's ever new. You learn something else, something more is revealed. And this Sunday is the Word of God Sunday. So Pope Francis, I think it was 2019, made this Sunday coming up the Word of God Sunday, trying to get us back into the Word of God, because as we read His Word, He's speaking to us, and then these lights come to us, and there's a conversation with His Word, and honor God, but the Lord is really filling our hearts with that peace, joy, and love that the world can't give or take away, can.
Amen. And, you know, just never ceases to amaze, you know, how all this seems to work these days. And, you know, again, going, you know, with last night and the folks that showed up, you know, we were saying today, we weren't, or maybe it was Chuck when he came over saying, you know, a lot of new faces. And, you know, God just keeps connecting the dots. And, you know, the people that we get to spend time with these days are people that we never would have met if it weren't for the ministry and addiction and all the other things that seems to draw us together. And you got, you know, guys like Bob calling in, Vietnam vet that went through, went to hell and back, and, you know, talking about praying the rosary. And, you know, sharing with us a couple of weeks ago about how much he needs to be with other people and like-minded people. And it's critical. And, you know, and talking about St. Anthony of Egypt in the first segment there, and, you know, he went off and he wanted to isolate. And I think some people can manage to do that and, you know, be by themselves and just commune with God day and night for days or weeks or months on end, but I think for the most, you know, most of us aren't cut from that cloth, and we need the interaction of other people. We need reassurance that we're doing the right thing, and we need to be corrected when we're doing the wrong thing. You're talking about, you know, God watching us all the time, being with us all the time, and how often have we tried in the past to, you know, forget about that, or actually try to believe that, you know, God's not watching. We're, you know, trying to run away from God and hope He's not seeing what we're doing. And, you know, for some people, the idea that you're being watched all the time can be a stressful thing. But at other times, you know, it hopefully has an impact on our behavior, and we do or don't do things, you know, do things that God would appreciate and don't do the things that He doesn't appreciate. And in doing those little things and doing more good deeds than bad deeds, or a whole lot more good deeds and a very few, if any, bad deeds, that we can draw closer to God on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with that, we got about a minute and a half left, Father, so.
Yeah, I just got a text from Bob, a little picture on there. He took the picture of Wawa where he was, and I said, "Are you Wawa?" And he was, and he sent the picture. And then his words were, "Before you saw me under the Wawa sign, you knew me."
Oh, man.
Before you saw me under the Wawa sign, you knew me.
Somebody's going to have to call them and get them to donate some money for all this airtime we're giving them.
Yeah,
anyway,
right?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Can we get
But
your...
anyway, just to end with the prayer. You know, what I really take home is just Anthony Ken and how he would combat temptation and everything else. The Lord won the victory on the cross. We just got to claim the victory. And that sign of the cross, right, and the holy name Jesus, you know, just to do that whenever we're tempted, sign ourselves with the sign of the cross and say, and just call on that holy name, Jesus. I thought of St. Joseph of Cupertino when he lost his temper and he was going for a you know, pitchfork after one of the brothers. And he dropped it, and he made the sign of the cross, you know. But that sign of the cross brings us right to Calvary, right to the Lamb of God who conquers all things. So we just got to trust the Lord and call on that holy name, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, the holy names of our brothers and sisters. And the battle was won, and the victory. Claim the victory, Ken. All right.
Amen.
Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, bless us all the listeners and this whole world of ours with peace. Help us truly to love one another, dear God, the way you love us. keep us in that peace and joy that the world can't give or take away, and bless us all, especially all those who suffer so much with addictions. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. God bless everyone. Thanks,
all right,
Ken.
Thanks, Father. Thanks, listeners. Don't go away. We're going to come back after the break and be joined by Chris McGregor. And